How much vitamin C do you take every day? Can we get enough of this nutrient from orange juice? As textbooks of human genetics, pediatrics, and internal medicine all tell us, the human need for vitamin C is not a nutritional thing entirely, it's a genetic problem that without exception, every one of us has. The biochemical inability to manufacture vitamin C internally that all humans share. Biochemical inability to manufacture vitamin C internally. Nearly all other animals synthesize vitamin C inside their own bodies. From glucose, otherwise known as blood sugar. Glucose is metabolized by an identical to all species series of four enzymes. Starts with glucose, out the other end of those four enzymes comes vitamin C. Cats, dogs, elephants, birds, horses, cows, nearly all their species need no vitamin C in their diets at all because their own bodies make it. Now, you'll understand where I'm going with this shortly. When stressed in any way, all other animals internally, without even thinking about it, start to self-manufacture greatly increased quantities of vitamin C to combat whatever the stress is. Doesn't matter what the stress is. Could be toxins, could be emotional stress, could be physical stress, could be all the glyphosate in the food, all that kind of stuff. Animals increase their quantities of vitamin C made internally to combat and detox and get rid of all that stuff. Now, human liver cells contain the first three enzymes in the vitamin C synthesizing series, but the fourth enzyme is totally missing. Yeah, it's a missing chunk of DNA thing. But when humans are stressed, their livers try. The activity of those first three enzymes is greatly increased. But no vitamin C is produced since that fourth enzyme is missing from humans. Unlike animals, we are genetically prevented. That's genetically prevented, but our dogs and cats aren't. And neither are all the animals in the zoo, except for the monkeys and gorillas, of course. Anyway, genetically prevented from producing one of the most important anti-stress and detoxifying molecules present in all of nature, vitamin C. The human need for vitamin C is an inborn error of metabolism, a fortunately survivable genetic disease because there's usually enough vitamin C in our diets to keep us from dying anyway. But is there enough to help detox modern life? Now, when animals are invaded by viruses, bacteria, carcinogens, toxins, herbicides, pesticides, anything that might kill them if not eliminated or detoxified, their bodies immediately start to synthesize 5, 10, 20, 50 times as much vitamin C as the day before, no kidding, to help detoxify and get rid of whatever the germ or toxin may be. Human bodies and human livers specifically try to make more vitamin C, but they can't. Now, that explains why Dr. Frederick Klinner, the pioneer of high-dose intravenous vitamin C, back in the 1940s, folks, and we're still not doing this in our hospital emergency rooms, in our hospitals at all. Well, I'll take that back. There's one place that's doing it. Dr. Frederick Klinner, the pioneer in use of high-dose intravenous vitamin C, was able to cure, yes, that's cure, a 5-year-old girl whose legs were already paralyzed by polio. And within 19 days, that girl was up and running around. I am not kidding you. You can look it up under Dr. Frederick Klinner. Frederick and K-L-E-N-N-E-R. And not just this one girl, but many, many other cases of polio were cured by Dr. Klinner. Other viral diseases cured, yes, that's cured, by Dr. Klinner in this way with high-dose intravenous vitamin C, over 70 grams a day intravenously sometimes, included hepatitis, herpes simplex, herpes zoster, shingles, it's called, mumps, measles, mononucleosis. He also used intravenous vitamin C to help rid people's bodies of various toxins, including toxic metals, carbon monoxide poisoning. Pulled some people out of that with high-dose intravenous vitamin C. And poisons, including black widow spider bite, which someone almost died from until they got to Dr. Klinner and got that vitamin C high-dose IV plugged in. Very importantly, none of Dr. Klinner's patients had adverse effects from these high doses of vitamin C given intravenously. Dr. Klinner was so successful because he was copying what nature and creation has done to protect the vast majority of living species from all of these health hazards. Remember, humans have the first three enzymes needed to make vitamin C from blood sugar, and these three enzymes start going to work to make that vitamin C from blood sugar whenever, and I do mean whenever, we're exposed to a toxin, but the fourth enzyme is missing. Stepping in with high-dose intravenous vitamin C makes up for that missing enzyme. Yes, very many of us know about this and swallow extra vitamin C when we're not feeling well, and it helps. But as nearly everyone knows, our intestines cannot absorb the 40 to 80 gram doses that are used intravenously, the 40 to 80 gram doses needed to handle the more serious infections or toxic exposures. For those, high-dose intravenous vitamin C is the best and most effective option. Well, a few years ago, I had food poisoning. As often happens, the symptoms came on rapidly and included the intense nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and all of that usual with food poisoning. Fortunately, it was morning when Tahoma Clinic was open as the standard of care emergency rooms. And remember, they follow the standard of care, even if it doesn't work so good. They might lose their licenses if they didn't. Oh my goodness, we can't be curing people with things that aren't standard of care, can we? Dr. Klenner did. Anyway, it was morning when Tahoma Clinic was open as standard of care emergency rooms more than 60 years after Dr. Klenner's many reports were published. Those standard of care emergency rooms still haven't learned to use high-dose intravenous vitamin C. Well, Holly called ahead to the clinic and then drove me there. A 50-gram intravenous dose of vitamin C was given to me. And here's what happened, and I'm not kidding at all. In one hour, I watched the clock, folks. All of the symptoms of food poisoning were gone. Goodbye. Gone. I felt fine. I'm not kidding. So far, only one university medical school in these United States has had the good sense and the courage necessary. Oh my goodness, I bet they caught all kinds of flack. To do research on high-dose intravenous vitamin C. In 2017, this was published in 2017, as you might guess. So maybe they did it in 2016. I don't know, but it was published in 2017. Researchers at Eastern Virginia Medical School, that's Eastern Virginia Medical School, go, folks, reported about the use of a combination of high-dose intravenous vitamin C given along with vitamin B1, that's thiamine, which was another vitamin often recommended by Dr. Klenner, good old Dr. Klenner, to accompany high-dose vitamin C. And then some cortisol, and that is identical to natural cortisol, the anti-stress hormone. And you sure could use it for this problem. The anti-stress hormone, not a patentable version with some of those weird names such as Decadron and Kenalog and Prednisone and stuff like that. They used an entirely natural combination of high-dose intravenous vitamin C, vitamin B1, and extra cortisol, because that's what our adrenal glands do if they can. When we are really under stress, is make a lot more cortisol. Good grief, they're copying nature at Eastern Virginia Medical School. Imagine that. They use that for the treatment of septic shock, which means you're really dirty. That's what septic stands for in septic tank, with a whole bunch of germs, and you've gone into shock from it. That's an often fatal condition. They compared the outcome of 47 septic shock patients given this treatment, the one I just mentioned, to the outcome of 47 septic shock patients given standard of care treatment in the Eastern Virginia Medical School Hospital Intensive Care Unit. Now, of the ones given standard of care treatment, 19 of 47, which is 40% of those, died. Of the ones given the Dr. Klenner with cortisol version, 4 of 47, that's 8.5%, died. That's almost 80% less deaths with the Dr. Klenner-inspired treatment. If anybody listening, just one person, happens to be working in a hospital emergency room, why not relay this? Eastern Virginia Medical School. Cut the death rate from septic shock to 8.5%. From 40, that's 40%. Okay, that's what our hospitals and universities, except for Eastern Virginia Medical School, have been ignoring for the last 60 years. Can't patent the stuff. Imagine that. Of course, we use it whenever we can and whenever necessary at Tahoma Clinic. Haven't caught heck from the state medical board for doing that yet. It's not standard of care. But now that Eastern Virginia Medical School has reported about it, we can probably get out by referring to them, even though we've been doing it for the last, good grief, since 1973 when we started the clinic. Okay, I'll get off the grumping. Let's go back to what we should be doing for ourselves to copy what nature and creation do for all those species who make their own vitamin C on demand, as needed, internally. How much vitamin C should we take, and how often, to help stay as healthy as we can? Linus Pauling told us to take as much as we can without our intestines complaining. You know, gas, diarrhea, loose bowels, that kind of stuff. That means, well, more vitamin C than your system wants. Through the intestines anyway, not intravenously, but through the intestines. So, probably best not to go there. For most adults, though, we can take between 4 and 8 grams a day, and it should be split into at least morning and evening, because it runs through the body pretty quick. But we can, most adults can take between 4 and 8 grams a day. Some can't. Some have to take less without getting those intestinal overflow symptoms. Now, a few other scientists besides Linus Pauling who studied this question point out that on an equivalent weight basis with animals that synthesize their own vitamin C, healthy adult humans would, if not for our genetic defect, produce from 2 to 4 grams of vitamin C daily, and that's under non-stress circumstances, folks. Other scientists have observed that adult gorillas, another non-vitamin C synthesizing species, adult gorillas living in an area identical to the original human environment. How do we know what the area that is? Well, since all the early human skeletons are found in the tropics, we kind of figure it's a tropical area. Anyway, living in an area identical to the original human environment, eat approximately 3 to 4 grams of vitamin C daily just from the foods growing there. And that's calculated on a human weight basis. Our only precaution is that individuals who have formed calcium oxalate kidney stones or who come from families who've had them should limit supplemental vitamin C to 1 gram a daily unless they're working with a healthcare professional knowledgeable in nutritional therapy, who is very likely to tell you that with enough magnesium and vitamin B6 makes the calcium oxalate stones not form. But really talk with the doctor about that if you've got calcium oxalate stones in your family. And otherwise, bowel tolerance is what Linus told us. Find out what the bowel doesn't want and cut back and use that every day. Why? Well, why? Good grief. We all know about all the toxins and pollutants and other garbage out there in the environment. My goodness, there's over 1,000 chemicals, new chemicals sprayed in the environment, mostly with quote approval unquote, that are not good for humans. New ones every year, 1,000 of them or more. And then there's other stresses too. Okay, so vitamin C is nature's number one detoxifier. If it weren't, it wouldn't be built into every animal species out there, except for us humans and apes and monkeys and gorillas and some species of fish and the guinea pigs. That's why they're such good guinea pigs. So why not keep nature's number one detoxifier going at all times? Worst it can do is give you over bowel tolerance. And watch out if you've got calcium oxalate stones in your family. Check with a healthcare professional on that. And that's kind of a brief version, no kidding, of good old vitamin C. And hooray for the Eastern Virginia Medical School cutting the death rate from septic shock to 8% compared with 40% on standard of care treatment. Pass that along to your universities if you can.